Playboy billionaire.
Exceptional martial artist.
Symbol.
Combat strategist.
Inexhaustible wealth.
Unbeatable.
Brilliant deductive skill.
Overrated.
Advanced technology.
Master tactician.
Psycho. Yeah, I'm sure you got a few to add to that list too.
What are you supposed to be?
What are you?
I'm vengeance. I'm Batman.
Yeah, you think you know Batman? Well, in part one, it was just heating up and we had to stop. So I am excited to rejoin my guests as we explore The Batman.
Podcast presented by Sonic Embassy.
Episode 14, Pop Culture Icons, The Batman, Part 2.
Welcome to Podcast presented by Sonic Embassy and Part 2 of Pop Culture Icons, The Batman. Pop Culture Icons is an ongoing miniseries in which we take a fun look back at various nouns in popular culture. And this episode, we continue our look at The Batman. Plus, I figure out when I went from seeing Batman as a whatever comic book character to one of my favorites. Yeah, I'm not going to recap part one. If you haven't already, go listen to part one in episode 13 first, then meet us back here. So who is the Batman?
Well, Bruce Wayne is an only child. His parents were Thomas and Martha Wayne. Thomas was a doctor, and his family company was Wayne Enterprises. Of course, very well-to-do family, leading family in Gotham City. Gotham City is essentially modeled after New York in the DC universe. And think back to the time in the 1930s, New York and Chicago were the two big cities. Chicago was the newer, cleaner, bright city, so that's supposed to be Metropolis. And then all the people that reside in Gotham are essentially New Yorkers. So their company and their family are at the forefront of Gotham society. Alfred Pennyworth is the family butler. And after the murder of the Waynes, he becomes the caretaker of Bruce Wayne and all of his personal life, kind of like a guiding father figure, source of knowledge, because in his younger life, he was a soldier in the British Army, a spy, a specialist. So he would have unique knowledge that would help Batman on his journey.
Well, once again, you say he's a millionaire playboy, but once again, when it gets to whenever you talk to yourself in your head, what do you call yourself in your head? And they've had so many story arcs where it's like the voice in his head doesn't say Bruce, it says Batman. That's he views himself as Batman, but then Bruce as the cloak that allows him to function as Batman. So and that's one of the things I find interesting about the character of which is the real him and which is the alter ego is flipped from the way so many have. He thinks of himself as Batman. He has PTSD. He always did. He always will. He's forever broken good. He's damaged goods. So I think he has accepted that. And went to where, he's not Bruce anymore. He's Batman.
Yes, and if you look back to Batman's origins, back in the late 30s, in the 1940s, he was the second big DC superhero behind Superman. And of course, Superman was created to be a person who was a hero seeking social justice for the time. And it was such a huge success. The creators of Superman, Siegel and Schuster, created a whole new genre, the superhero comic. And DC immediately knew what they had. So they tasked Batman's creator, Bob Kane, with coming up with the next hero. And that's how Batman began. But his earliest roots are fighting against crime, being a detective. Seeking to right injustice. So this kind of gets back to the core idea of what the character is all about.
An icon. He's an icon. He is a man who did not get therapy and now goes out at night dressed up as a bat and fights alongside a little boy that he replaces every few years that also didn't get therapy. Let's keep in mind, the little boy is often an orphan who also needs therapy. But I guess beating up criminals is therapy. I don't know.
Wow. You know, Nick said something about attitudes like yours.
What did he say?
Well, we'll get to that in a second. So even though the Batman has never been my favorite comic book character, and probably never will be, because, hello, The Flash. But recently I found out that I really like him. So I think I narrowed down what the catalyst was that made me really start to pay attention to this character. I think I finally figured out when the shift happens. What made me stop simply viewing Batman as an okay, whatever character to one of my favorites, one that I really respect. In 2005, a visionary filmmaker named Christopher Nolan began what would become a trilogy of Batman movies with his somewhat grounded in reality take on the character. The way he told those stories put Batman in a light that, as an, I'll admit, oblivious, casual fan, I'd never seen or thought of.
Tell me, what do you know about?
I don't know anything about Batman.
Really?
Beginning with Batman's origin. Yes, I know he witnessed his parents' murder. But in any story I'd ever seen, you just pretty much skip ahead, and Batman is already established. He's already a ninja, but I never saw how he's able to fight so well.
You have learned to bury your guilt with anger. I will teach you to confront it and to face the truth. You know how to fight six men. We can teach you how to engage 600. You know how to disappear. We can teach you to become truly invisible.
Invisible?
Ninja understands that invisibility is a matter of patience and agility. Always mind your surroundings. Ninjutsu employs explosive powders.
As weapons?
Or distractions. Theatricality and deception are powerful agents. You must become more than just a man in the mind of your opponent.
He already has the Batcave. And I always wondered, how in the world was he able to build all of that in secret?
This must be the lowest foundation of the Southeast Wing.
In the Civil War, your great-great-grandfather was involved in the Underground Railroad, secretly transporting free slaves to the North. And I suspect these caverns came in handy.
Where does he get those wonderful toys?
Yeah, exactly. All those wonderful toys. Where is he getting them from? It's not Amazon.
We ordered a main part of this cow from Singapore.
Via Dummy Corporation.
Indeed. And then quite separately, we place an order to a Chinese company for these.
Put it together ourselves.
Precisely.
What's that? Well, the tumbler? Oh, you wouldn't be interested in that.
Now, keep in mind, up to that point in my life, I had never even probably picked up a Batman comic book. So all this information I'm getting from Batman Begins was all new to me. And apparently, I loved it. You know me, always late to the party. Well, from then on, the bell had been rung, so to speak. I started paying attention more to how Batman was portrayed in other things, like Young Justice.
Batman, please, tell me you're not sending us on this joke of a wild ape chase.
I never joke about the mission.
Batman in animated movies like Assault on Arkham and The Dark Knight Returns Parts 1 and 2. An older, veteran Batman in the amazing Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice.
20 years in Gotham, Alfred. We've seen what promises are worth. How many good guys are left? How many stayed that way?
And in other media, including, yes, comic books. Finally, I read a Batman comic book. And that's when I began to realize that all in all, the Bat is a bad man. Hey, you already knew that. I said I'm always late to the party, so leave me alone.
The attacks were strategically brilliant.
More than that, they were specifically targeted at our physical and psychological weaknesses.
Obviously by someone who knows us very well.
The plans were mine.
Yours?
What now?
I've carefully studied every Justice Leaguer, past and present, and created contingency plans to neutralize you, should that ever become necessary.
You've got to be kidding me with that.
Neutralize, not kill. Whoever implemented my plans altered them.
It's still a completely unacceptable breach of our trust.
The members of the Justice League are among the most powerful and potentially dangerous people on the planet.
You think one of us would go over to the other side?
Or succumb to mind control? Yes, it's possible. That's why I developed plans for containing any or all members of the JLA, should the need ever arise.
None of us would ever do that to you.
Then you're damn fools.
That was a clip from the 2012 animated movie Justice League Doom.
I do agree with you about the Christopher Nolan movies. It was so well done. My favorite, you know, so many people love the second movie where Heath Ledger played the Joker. But personally, for me, I love the first movie, Batman Begins. I think it was very well done to actually see in the movie, there comes the point where Bruce Wayne is remembering that he left the theater when his parents were murdered, and it started him on his journey to his war on crime. To actually see that on the big screen live really had a big impact on me. And I'm not embarrassed to say I had tears. I mean, it was very impactful. And at the same time, later in the movie, when Christian Bale is Bruce Wayne and Morgan Freeman is Lucius Fox, are riding together in the Tumbler, the version of the Batmobile that was in the movie, I mean, it just filled my heart with a lot of happiness when he's revving up the car. And then you can see the happiness he's got. He's found a new weapon. And when he turns to Lucius Fox and says,
"Does it come in black?"
Just such a great moment, you know? It adds a lot to the experience, you know, seeing a great live adaptation like that, I think.
Why are so many people drawn to this character?
First of all, I think he popularized, his character popularized the tragic backstory. I really think that it started with him. I don't know. Didn't he come out in like the 30s? Yeah, so he came out in the 30s, which is really convincing to me why he was so popular, because you're so used to, I feel like he was different because you're so used to heroes being lighthearted. I feel like around that time, maybe they're used to heroes being lighthearted, and then you introduce someone who looks like a villain, but is actually a hero and has this tragic backstory. And then it's just like, that's probably how it's, I bet that's when it started. The whole dark looking hero with a tragic sob story. Yeah. I think that's why he's so popular.
Yeah, I once went to BotCon, and there was one guy who, I mean, I thought he was silly, but I think it applies in this moment. When he got to have a question, talk to the voice of Optimus Prime, he told him, you know, "You'll just never understand what you meant to me. I grew up without a dad, never had a male figure in my life, raised by my mom and my aunt." And he's like, but you, on Saturday morning, Optimus Prime became that role model, that father figure that really set a lot of my values. And this guy was tearfully talking about how Optimus Prime was like the dad he never had. And I thought it was a joke. But, you know, I think all of us have that pain, have that trauma, have that somewhat emptiness inside of us on some level. And I think that's what makes those characters especially very relatable. You know, Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, they all have pain. They all have a lot of loss. And the best they can do is cope with it. They never really are able to escape it. And I think for many people who I think especially get into comic books, get into that fantasy, have some sort of loss, have some sort of not connecting with their peers or the world around them, and they see that relatability and they see that hope of being able to actually do some good with themselves. But on top of that, I mean, what kid doesn't love ninjas? I mean, ninjas are awesome. And Batman, I mean, he's also a ninja. So it's the fantasy as well.
I've always been a huge DC Comics fan. I've always felt at home reading DC Comics. Superman is like the ideal. He's a living God. He is what we should all aspire to be. Clark Kent is who he is. Superman is the alternate identity, the secret identity that he wears and shows to the world. He tries to see the good in people. He stands for hope. He stands for justice. Batman is a different being. Bruce Wayne is the mask that he presents to the world. This person, this being, is Batman. When he was an 8-year-old boy, he left this movie theater with his parents, saw them murdered in front of his eyes, and it changed him forever. That day, he became Batman. He had a long journey to take to become that hero. But I think the reason why he touches so many people and is so popular is the fact that we all want to be Superman, but again, you can't be. And yet with Batman, he's just a regular guy with no powers. He has pushed his mind and his body to the ultimate limit. He has tried to become the best human being he can be for his own agenda. But the idea that all of us want to be the best version of ourselves we can be, that's pretty appealing, I think. In other words, you know, to become the ultimate evolution of oneself, to me, I think that's pretty powerful. And then, of course, there's the idea that, you know, billionaire playboy and all those good toys and that car. I think in a lot of ways it's comparable to why Tony Stark with Iron Man has become so popular, because of Robert Downey Jr.'s portrayal of that character. So I think there's a good comparison there.
And all the gadgets, the wonderful toys.
They're his signature. Like bat, insert whatever it is. It's a signature. Plus also, I mean, what is he gonna do without them? That's like such a common thing that I hear. Like, he just has toys. And like, well, he knows how to use them, and he's skilled, and he can fight too. And he doesn't really use any weapon either, and a grappling hook. But like that's not really. And his wit, his fist, his feet, and his wit, and his money.
Yeah, it's about the car. It's all about the car. Isn't that something that, wasn't that one of the crappy Shoemaker movies? He's like, chicks dig the car, you know? And that was something I appreciated when Arkham Knight was made, even though the Batmobile was just too much. It was like World of Tanks, but when they were trying to make Arkham Knight, they said they were trying to make that seamless transition pairing of Batman and the Batmobile, because it's so key to his character, you know, and it makes sense. You know, think of how much Batman is influenced by the Lone Ranger. You know, the Lone Ranger, where would he be without his horse? So I think you get that connection between Batman and his ride are so key to who he is. And you know, and it's the same as you think of like Iron Man. I mean, Iron Man, just he wears all of his gadgets all around him, and Batman just wears his gadgets on a belt instead of on a suit. It's definitely key to surviving without superpowers.
That was what was really cool about the Nolan films. You know, as you're watching the movie, the background is you see how Alfred helped him plan and how they built the bat suit. Then later in other movies, how, like in the second movie, they figured out a way to extract a human being out of a building with a moving airplane. I mean, just he finds a way. No matter what happens, he figures out how to get the job done. And he does have the best toys. So, and like I say, bat car, bat copter, bat cycle, bat boat. Must be nice. Grappling gun.
And the batarangs.
Oh, batarang. Yes, batarang for sure. You leave behind your mark and instill that fear in the criminal element, you know?
With all the popularity comes those who do not agree, who think the character is overrated or played out, or...
9 times out of 10, that's coming from a Superman fanboy. Like, 9 times out of 10. Either you're coming from a Marvel fanboy or a Superman fanboy. Mm-hmm. Whenever he goes up against people that are way out of his league in theory, like Superman and other, just, you know what I mean. They're like, no, he shouldn't win that. It doesn't matter how smart he is, you know, because that's a bit annoying. I can totally understand how that'd be annoying. So I think that's another reason why. And come on, he's a man. He's a human dressed up in a bat costume. It's ridiculous. But I mean, it's still a criticism. Like, you could live. Any popular character is going to be accused of being overrated. Like Spider-Man. If I said that he was overrated, I'd get crucified. So that's just the neutral opinion. I'm not saying he's overrated. I'm just saying that it's like saying that, you know. I didn't say he was overrated, but I mean, every popular, he's a popular character who dresses up in a bat suit.
Just like a bat. I dig it.
One of the things that really, I get upset with so many people who just see Batman as just some spoiled, rotten kid who's trying to beat the pain away, to, you know, punch his pain into someone else's faces. But, you know, he's not Frank Castle. He's not the Punisher. He's not out on this constantly seeking revenge. They're different characters, very much shown because of even how Batman has restraints that the Punisher doesn't have. But, you know, he's very motivated to try to not inflict his pain on others, but trying to prevent others from having his pain.
Oh, no. He's not a spoiled brat. Didn't he work for what he had? I mean, he was born into a rich family, but I mean, he worked like harder to obtain more things. I mean, he's not a spoiled brat. Damien is the brat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I really appreciate about Batman is really, he's a very compassionate person. And in many ways, he is the heart of the Justice League.
The boy needs you.
No, he needs you. He needs Red. I'm just a constant reminder of what he's not.
Sorry, Clark, but you're dead wrong. Look, I know he troubles you, but he's here. You have to get over the how and why. Trust me on this. This boy needs his father.
You know, you see so many beautiful moments in comics and different media where he connects with a grieving person, where, you know, he'll actually, you know, try to just soothe someone or hug someone who is dealing with death. He feels their pain. He tries to comfort them. He goes out fighting to try to protect so that other children hopefully don't have to go through what he went through. And then when you look at the ones that he takes on and trains are ones who were not able to be saved, were not able to be protected. They've become orphans. They've already gotten to be the, you know, the PTSD damaged goods that he is. And so at that point, he tries to help them cope by teaching them how he coped, by teaching them to fight back, because that's how he had dealt with his pain. And he helps others. And it's beautiful whenever he does that, because you think of how many of those ones that he's helped. Dick Grayson is a good example. One comic book was showing Dick Grayson was being groomed to be a Talon, to be a hitman for the Court of Owls. Bruce stepping in to help him prevented him from becoming a villain. So I think it's when you see the ones he takes on, he trains, he's doing them good because he's actually preventing them from the course of becoming a very bad person.
We have a signal now for when I'm needed. But when that light hits the sky, it's not just a call. It's a warning.
All right, so as the youngest Batman fan of us, what did you think about the latest Batman movie, The Batman? The first new live-action Batman for you since you became a fan. So I'm curious to know.
I liked it. It was probably one of the most, like, I'd say, artistic comic book movies in general that we've seen. It's like a breath of fresh air. And not just because I like Batman, but because I like Batman.
Okay.
Okay, but seriously, it is. It's great. It's a really good movie.
So did they based upon what you know of Batman, did they get it right? Did they get it perfect?
I'm inclined to say perfect because Pattinson is easily my favorite now. I did not like Batfleck. I really don't. I hope I never have to see him as Batman again. So I'm inclined to say perfect. But I do like that they brought back his detectiveness instead of him just beating up everybody, which is, that's still Batman too, but I like that he's more on the detective side because wasn't that mainly what he is?
All right.
You would think that because it's a DC movie, it would be nitpicked, but not really, because it's that good. I've only seen people complain about like Act 3, like liking the movie up until Act 3 and not really understanding it. And I used to be in that crowd because I wanted to say that the day I saw it, the first day I saw it, I wanted to be like, yeah, I didn't really like like it towards the end. But after watching it a second time, it's not out of place to the movie. So it's just the most quote unquote hate I've seen is just people not understanding Act 3.
Simple-minded people, in other words.
No, it's just that they probably saw it once because I was in that crowd. I was like, I don't really know how to feel about it. But then I'm like, no, it makes sense.
Cool. Okay. All right.
Batman is emo and he quite literally said, you're not my dad, Alfred. So that's all I wanted to add. He has a diary and everything too.
That is funny. Yeah, I didn't really like his Bruce Wayne look, but I'll be glad to see Bruce Wayne's change and growth once he figures out the Bruce Wayne mask that he's got to wear. Are you a comic book reader? Maybe you're like me and feel like with more than 80 years of comics and stories, man, I don't even know where to begin. I shut down. No. So, I asked the experts two questions. First, what is a must-read story? One that's already completed, you can just buy the volume and binge read. What is a must-read Batman story?
Well, the beautiful thing about comics is there are so many different stories over the years showing different versions of Batman. We've spoken a little bit about how the Joker murdered Jason Todd. Back in the 80s, that was a story arc called Death in the Family, and that's definitely a must read. Another one that comes to mind is a story called The Long Halloween. It's a story that took place over a year's time, and it's early in Batman's career where he's working together with Commissioner Gordon and young Harvey Dent before he becomes Two-Face. More modern stories, we've got Hush, which was a comic that came out over a year's time and introduced a brand new villain, but someone who has ties to Bruce Wayne personally and from his youth. And then, of course, there are events and stories that are must-read, like back in the day, like we spoke about earlier, Frank Miller's The Dark Knight and then its sequels. And of course, Alan Moore, the gentleman who wrote Watchmen and V for Vendetta, he did a story called The Killing Joke that essentially changes Barbara Gordon, Batgirl's life forever. Just a huge moment in the Batman mythos. So there are definitely plenty of great stories out there and a long list of stories that could be considered must read.
Long Halloween is probably the best Batman story arc that I've seen. Jeff Loeb is an amazing writer, and I really hate Tim Sale's art. It didn't matter to me because I love Jeff Loeb so much. So anything he's written is good. He also did Hush. But yeah, Long Halloween, absolutely amazing. Especially now as the Court of Owls are kind of becoming a thing with some upcoming Batman stuff that'll be happening. I'd say if someone hasn't read that first New 52 Court of Owls arc that Scott Snyder did, I think it's maybe 12 issues there. That was brilliant. really beautiful writing, great art in that that first New 52 Court of Owls. But if you read that, you also have to read the first Nightwing story arc in the New 52, because it also had to do with Court of Owls, and those two complemented each other like peanut butter and jelly, and beautiful arcs altogether. I think for anyone that's a Batman fan, already knows Batman, and is looking just to read something different or unique, Earth One by Geoff Johns, his Batman arc, I think it has two volumes out, was amazing. He does some really good flips on some characters because it's in an alternate universe. He could do whatever he wanted, and he handled it brilliantly. Flashpoint, another really good one. It was great because of you really get to see that relationship between Bruce and his father Thomas, where Bruce is dead and Thomas becomes Batman. And you really get to see how Thomas would have done this completely different than Bruce. But you still see that father-son love for each other. And the last scene in Flashpoint was beautiful. Absolutely beautiful Batman moment, if someone hasn't seen it. Now, probably one of the best forgotten gems that a lot of people don't know about is Gotham Central, which had four volumes. And it follows what it's like to be a cop in Gotham City, and the day shift and the night shift. And Batman makes some appearances, but it's pretty much just focused on the Gotham cops and what it's like being in this city with these horrible, overpowered, hyper-violent villains, and then cleaning up after what Batman does. It was one of the best Batman Gotham story arcs ever. And I would recommend anyone who loves just a good human story, detective story, to read Gotham Central.
All right, so both recommend The Long Halloween, and actually I can concur with that, so I guess that makes it a must read. The Long Halloween, it's a great mystery, has really nothing to do with Halloween, so don't worry. Okay, and now what's a good place to jump in right now?
Well, the great thing about comics is it's kind of like a story superhighway. It's always going forward. And they're always kind of like on-ramps, places to jump in where you can start with a new story arc or with new creators. It just so happens issue 100 of the current run of Batman will be coming out. And that's actually the culmination of a story that's going on right now called The Joker War. So anyone who is near a local comic shop, or anyone who can, of course, do mail order, you could order some of the recent issues of Batman, which would be issues 95 going forward to 100, and that is The Joker War. And then if you jump in at issue 100, you'll be able to go forward. The current writer has said that going forward from 100, there will be the introduction of a ton of new villains, some new directions for the Bat family and for Batman himself. And I think that would really be a great jumping in point, aiming for that issue 100 and then going forward. And that's right now, right here. Just to let you know, that issue 100, it's kind of a big deal. It's been revealed by the writer that issue 100 will be the first appearance of a major new villain called Ghostmaker. So that has a lot of potential there.
Love this character or hate him, there is no denying that Batman is a pop culture icon. I know what you're thinking. Man, we didn't even talk about all the characters in Batman's universe. We didn't talk about the villains. We didn't talk about the family. Oh, we will. But that's for future episodes of Pop Culture Icons, the Batman. Well, all right. If you want to give it a shot, jump in right now on some actual comic books. Maybe you're late like I am. Hey, support your local comic book shops like Soundwave Comics. A huge thank you to the Super Friends for their insights. Greg, Nick, and baby girl, I love you. Can I hug you?
No.
So then a kiss is out of the question, huh?
Yeah.
You can find Soundwave Comics all over social media and at soundwavecomics.com. So what do you think? Do you agree? Disagree? And I'd love to know. My email is studio@sonicembassy.com. And you can also find the Sonic Embassy on Twitter, Facebook, and IG. Our website, sonicembassy.com. If you enjoy this episode,
I want you to do me a favor. I want you to tell all your friends about me.
Yep, so they can listen too. And if you hated it, chances are you're on Twitter a lot. So include a link to sonicembassy.com/podcast with your negative tweet. If you have a person, place, or thing that you think is a pop culture icon and deserves some love, hey, by all means, let me know. Thank you so much for listening. I love you, and I hope you'll listen more soon. Hey, we've got other miniseries that you will probably enjoy, so take a scroll through our recent episodes.
In the other day, Sonic.
Sonic Embassy.